This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. والذين آمنوا وهاجروا وجاهدوا في سبيل الله والذين آووا ونصروا أولئك هم المؤمنون حقا لهم مغفرة ورزق كريم. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable ulama, respected elders, brothers, mothers and sisters, the month of Muharram signals the beginning of a new Islamic calendar. And just as the Jews, the Christians, the Hindus, and the other faith groups have their own calendar, likewise Muslims also have their own unique calendar called the Hijri calendar. And the Hijri calendar is as important as it was before in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or during any Islamic era for that matter. That is because our ibadat, our worship hinges upon the Hijri calendar. A Muslim will only give his zakat based on the lunar calendar and not the Gregorian calendar. And this is important for me to clarify here. A person cannot stipulate, for example, the English date on the 1st of November, each year I will discharge my zakat. He will not be giving his zakat properly because there will be a shortfall in terms of the days. Because you know, the Gregorian calendar and the Hijri calendar is not the same. On the Gregorian calendar, you got the 30 and 31. And when there's a leap year, you got 28 days. But on the Islamic side, you got 29 and 30 days. So you will not be discharging your zakat accurately. As a businessman or as a person discharging his personal zakat has to stipulate the Islamic date each year. So if he stipulates the 1st of Shawwal, then each year he needs to give his zakat on the 1st of Shawwal. He cannot stipulate the English date for that matter. Secondly, the global ummah will witness the crescent of Ramadan for it to commence fasting. Likewise, the Muslim Ummah will observe the crescent of Shawwal for it to celebrate the day of Eid. Likewise, a Muslim woman, upon receiving talaq or upon passing away of her husband, will spend her iddat based on the lunar calendar and not the English calendar. Likewise, the Hujjaj who will go to visit Baytullah and to perform this important ritual of Hajj will have to sight the moon to determine the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, which is Yawmul Arafah. The day of Eidul Fitr, the day of Eidul Adha, likewise, every other ritual of Islamic importance is determined by the sighting of the moon and not the English calendar. Yas'alunaka 'anil ahilla. قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ. They came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they asked the Prophet of Allah, O Nabi of Allah, what is the matter with the moon? The waxing and the waning of the moon, sometimes we see it so thin and then we see it gradually progressing. Why is this happening, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Prophet of Allah gave a simple example. قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ. The moon is to establish the times of ibadah for yourself, fasting, zakah, hajj, iddat, Eidul Fitr, Eidul Adha, and the other matters of deen. So the Hijri calendar is here to stay. The Hijri calendar will remain important to a believer, whether he is staying in a Muslim country or a non-Muslim country. Whether he is under an Islamic state or under a non-Islamic state, the Hijri calendar is important to him wherever he may be in the world. At the same time, the Gregorian calendar or the solar calendar also belongs to Allah. For the moon belongs to Allah and the sun also belongs to Allah. But Allah has chosen the lunar calendar for the Muslim Ummah. Today I want to discuss the significance of the Hijri calendar. First of all, where do we get the name Hijri calendar? When did it come about? So 2 years into the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab contemplated and he wanted to create a system where he could date the orders that he was issuing and likewise the matters of the Muslim. Muharram, Safar, Rabiul Awwal was already there before Islam. But Islam created the system of dating in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi discusses that there were 4 options available at that time. Either the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, either the nubuwah, when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam received prophethood, either the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or either the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some sahaba suggested that why don't we go with the Persian calendar? Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi mentions that this would not work because whenever a new ruler came, he changed the calendar. Some sahaba suggested, why don't we go with the Byzantine, the Roman calendar? Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu suggested that, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, why don't we use the Hijrah of the Muslimin as the starting point of our calendar? Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu liked this opinion, and so it was determined that the Muslim calendar will be called the Hijri calendar. How did Muharram become the first month of the calendar? When the people from Medina came to Makkatul Mukarramah, when they accepted Islam, and when they pledged to support Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to protect him, and when they invited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam along with his companions to Medina, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam agreed upon this. It was at the time of Hajj, Dhul Hijjah, which is the last month of the Islamic calendar. After a few days had passed, during the month of Muharram, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave the command to the Sahaba to migrate to Madinatul Munawwara. And so Muharram became the first month of the Islamic calendar. Now what I want to discuss today is that why is it called the Hijri calendar? Why did the Sahaba choose the Hijrah of the Muslimin at that time? I mean, there was the Badr. The occasion of Badr was the most decisive battle for the Muslims. If the Muslims were defeated, Islam was wiped out. So why wasn't Badr used as a starting point of the calendar? Why wasn't the changing of the Qibla used? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, along with the Muslims, faced Baytul Muqaddas for 16 months after they migrated to Madinatul Munawwara. This was also an important event. Why didn't the Muslims use Uhud, Khandaq, and other important events as a starting point of the calendar? Because nothing was important at that time as it was important to migrate from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara. In fact, it was wajib. It was compulsory. It was incumbent upon Sahaba and the Muslimin, those who had the capacity to travel and who had the means. It was compulsory for them to travel from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara. And so when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave the command to migrate, the Sahaba complied. But let's try and understand the Hijrah in its context. It didn't come overnight. 13 years of persecution. The Quraysh became brutal in their policies towards the Muslims. It became so difficult and so unbearable for the Muslims that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave the Sahaba the permission first to migrate to Abyssinia. And so we found that 70 to 80 men who migrated from Makkatul Mukarramah to Abyssinia, from the 7th year to the 10th year of Islam, the Muslims, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family were boycotted, social boycott, economic sanctions, brutal policies, لا نبايعهم ولا نشتري منهم ولا نتزوج منهم. We will not sit with the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will not buy and sell. We will impose economic sanctions on the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the extent that people, when they came from outside to sell their goods in Makkatul Mukarramah, the Quraysh would buy the products at double the rate so that they could not go and sell to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 3 long years. 3 long years. Muslims were trapped in the valley of Abu Talib. The mountain pass of Abu Talib. No food supply. No business, no economic relationships with the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No one was to give their daughter to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise, nobody was to marry the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sahaba say, we would hear the crying of babies at night out of hunger and desperation. The 10th year after Nubuwah, the Prophet of Allah loses his uncle, Abu Talib. He loses his wife, Khadijatul Kubra, radiyallahu ta'ala anha, two pillars of support. He goes to the town of Taif. Instead of accepting the message of Islam, they pelted him for miles on end. This is the context in which the Sahaba migrated to Madinatul Munawwara. After returning from Taif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the permission to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to present himself to the different tribes of Arabia. So at the time of business, the famous trades, Uqad, Mijanna, and the time of Hajj, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would present himself to the different tribes. Man yu'wini, man yansuruni, who will give me shelter? Who will give me protection so that I may migrate to your land and I can spread the message of Islam in peace? For my people, my Quraysh, have made it difficult for me to spread the message of Islam in Makkah. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. Banu Amir, a very powerful and a formidable tribe, was present at the time of Hajj. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu accompanies the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he tells the Prophet of Allah, because Abu Bakr was a very knowledgeable person and he was the master of genealogy, he knew the ancestry of all the Arab tribes in Arabia, and not only that, he even knew about them, their strength, their weaknesses, their numbers. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said to the Prophet of Allah, this is the tribe of Banu Amir. Maybe we can find shelter in them and spread the message of Islam. The Prophet of Allah presents himself to this tribe and he presents the message of Islam. They ask him one question. Tell me one thing. If we were to give you shelter today, undoubtedly we are going to be waging war with Arabia because we are going to become their enemies. If Allah gives you victory tomorrow, what will be the question and what will be the position of leadership after that? The Prophet of Allah said, the question of leadership belongs to Allah. Whomsoever he wants to make a leader, Allah will make him the leader. So they said, we got no need with you. We must put our necks on the line. And when the mission is over, leadership goes to you. We're not prepared for this. Go away. Mental rejection is far worse than physical torture. Ask anybody. And many other tribes, they rejected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran says, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we understand you are feeling the pain, the agony. You are feeling apprehensive. We understand the emotions that you are going through. But be patient. Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab would take turns in following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he would go to present himself to the different tribes. And they would say, do not listen to this foolish man. Do not listen to this man, for he is a liar. They tried to discredit the mission and the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They were so adamant on turning down the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that at the time of Hajj, they would get together at the Darun Nadwa and they cooked up a plan and they said, You know that people from Arabia all over are going to come to perform Hajj. They are going to sit in the company of your companion Muhammad. We need to come up with a smear campaign. We need to discredit his profile, his mission, his religion, so that we can remain the leaders, we can remain and retain the political clout in Arabia. And so they said, what should we call him? Some said, let's call him a magician. Some said, let's call him a soothsayer. Some said, let's call him an insane person, na'udhu billah. And so at the end, they came up with the plan that we are going to call him a magician. For he breaks families, he breaks our ranks, and he's taking our numbers away from us, and his religion is growing. They were so professional in their smear campaign that on the key entrances of Mecca, they would depute people to stand there, and whoever was coming into Mecca, they would tell him, beware, do not sit by this man Muhammad. He is a magician. He will break your family relations. He will disunite you and your family. He will disunite you and your tribe. Beware, do not sit in his company. So this is the backdrop of the hijrah. The Muslims were not allowed to practice Islam openly. Persecution unmatched. So when things became difficult, the Prophet of Allah started presenting himself to the different tribes of Arabia at the time of Hajj. The Prophet of Allah found the people of Medina. Secretly, the Prophet of Allah met them. There were six of them. The Prophet of Allah presented Islam to them. The people of Medina were already familiar about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of their neighbors, the Jews. The Jews, whenever they had an argument with the people of Medina, they would say, don't worry, the final prophet is coming. We will join his ranks and we will defeat you. So the people of Medina already heard about Islam before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming to Makkatul Mukarramah as a Nabi. So when they heard about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Nubuwa, automatically they said to one another, we cannot allow the Jews to beat us in this. We know about this man. We're going to accept Islam. And so they accepted Islam and they said, we promise you, O Nabi of Allah, we will go back and preach your deen. So they went back and they preached Islam. The following year they came back at the time of Hajj. At the time of Hajj in the place called Mina, they met the Prophet of Allah in the dark hours of the night. This time there were 12 people. The people of Aus and the Khazraj. This time the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took a pledge of allegiance for them. You will not steal, you will not do down anybody, you will not kill any innocent child, etc., etc., etc. The 12 of them pledged allegiance to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they asked for a guide, for a mentor to teach them about Islam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam deputed Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu ta'ala anhu as a young sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to migrate to Medina to Munawwara as the first teacher and the first muallim. He was known in Medina as Al-Muqri, the one who is teaching us. A young man was given this colossal task of migrating and teaching Islam. If only we had faith in our youngsters. If only we had faith in our youngsters. Look at any organization. It's run by who? Elderly people who are close to reaching the qabr. They don't want to give up their position. Look at how much of confidence the Prophet of Allah had in his companions. Mus'ab ibn Umair is a young man. There were senior people amongst Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar ibn al-Khattab was there. Uthman ibn Affan was there. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was there. Who did the Prophet of Allah choose? Mus'ab ibn Umair. If only we had confidence in our youth. If only we showed more courage towards them, they would have been part of our ranks also. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So 1 year passes. And the following year, the Sahaba come back with 70 people. The numbers are increasing. When Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu ta'ala comes to Madinatul Munawwara, he starts his mission of da'wah. Two very influential people accept Islam. Usayd ibn Hudayr and Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. These were two leaders of their tribe. And naturally, when a leader accepts Islam, everybody else follows suit. Time does not permit me to go into the Islam, how they accepted Islam. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet of Allah again meets them for the second pledge, which is known as Al-Aqabatu Thaniya, in the dark hours of the night. How they did it? Two of them would go quietly and stealthily, they would go and meet the Prophet of Allah. So when the entire group came, 72 of them, they sat in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was also present. The Ansar said to themselves, how long are we going to leave the Prophet of Allah to present himself to the different tribes and to be rejected all along? How long are we going to let this happen? We are going to invite him to Madinatul Munawwarah. And so they said to the Prophet of Allah, we want you and your whole companionship to come to Madinatul Munawwarah. We will be your host. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet of Allah said, promise me. Promise me that you will look after me just as you look after your women folk and your kids. They said, we promise you, O Nabi of Allah. We put our lives on the line. We will serve you till the end, and we will never ever allow you to be deserted. Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said to them, remember, he is well protected amongst us in Mecca. There is no shortage of security. We are well protected in Mecca. If you are taking him, you make sure that you will protect him. As'ad ibn Zurara radiallahu ta'ala stood up amongst the Ansar and said, O Ansar, remember, by giving shelter to this man, you are waging war with Arabia. Understand who you are giving protection to. Understand who you are giving shelter to. They said, go away from here. We know fully well and wholeheartedly we take Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Madinatul Munawwarah. Allahu Akbar. So the Sahaba are now given the permission to migrate to Madinatul Munawwarah. When the Quraysh learned about the plans of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did they do? Number one, they broke up families. Ummu Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, our mother, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was at that time married to Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala anhu. She says, when the order came to migrate to Madinatul Munawwarah, myself, my husband, and my son, we prepared for the journey. I got onto the camel and my son in my lap. My husband holding the reins of the camel, we walk in out of Mecca. My family comes in the middle and intercepts us. And they said to my husband Abu Salama, you have accepted Islam. You are living in Mecca. You can go. We don't care. But we will never allow you to take our daughter with. And so they snatched her and they grabbed her away. Abu Salama's family, when they saw this, they said, if you are taking his wife, we will take our son away. And so they took that young boy away. Mother separated, son separated, husband leaves for Madinatul Munawwarah. Allahu Akbar. For one year, Ummu Salama radiallahu ta'ala says, I would come to the place Atba. Atba is a place between Mina and Mecca. And I would cry. I would cry profusely. On one side, my husband is gone. On one side, my son is taken away from me. On one side, my family has been difficult with me. 1 year passed like this. Until my uncle one day saw me in this pitiable condition. And he came to my family and he said to them, how long are you going to torture this lady? Allow her to migrate. And they said, go if you want to go to your husband. Immediately she goes to the clan of Abu Salama. She gets her son. And she leaves to Madinatul Munawwarah. As she's leaving, there is nobody to take her to Madinatul Munawwarah. A non-Muslim, Uthman ibn Talha, who was not a Sahabi at that time, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, sees her. And he asks her, where are you going? She says, I'm going to Madinatul Munawwara to join my husband. Who is taking you? She says, nobody is accompanying me by Allah. Only my son and myself. A non-Muslim, Allahu Akbar. He said, I will take you. She says, I have never seen a noble man like him. Whenever the need was to stop, he would kneel the camel down. He would excuse himself far away until I got the camel, until I answered the call of nature, until I was rested, and then I would get back onto the camel, and he would come back and then take me until I reached Medina to Munawwara. And he said to me, here is your husband, and he went back to Makkah. They broke families, brothers and sisters. How does it feel to be separated from your husband? How does it feel to be separated from your son? Allahu Akbar. One entire year. Allahu Akbar. Suhayb radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was a very wealthy sahabi. He is leaving to migrate to Madinah to Munawwara. The Quraysh said, do you think we'll let you go just like that? He said, how about I make a deal with you? I will tell you where my belongings are in Makkah. I will tell you where my wealth is. I will give you everything. Just let me go. Just let me go. They said, that's a very good bargain. And so he gave everything he possessed just to make hijrah. Allahu Akbar. Suhayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes into Madinah to Munawwara, and the Prophet of Allah is smiling, looking at him. Oh Suhayb, Allah has sent down revelation. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. The Prophet of Allah receives this revelation. Do you know what it means? How long does it take you to establish an empire? How long does it take you to buy your own house? How long does it take you to buy your own vehicle? And giving it all away overnight. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab narrates the incident. Myself, Ayyash ibn Rabi'a, Hisham radiallahu ta'ala, and we agreed that tomorrow morning we'll meet 12 miles out of Makkah and we'll migrate to Madinatul Munawwara. If any of us do not make it, then it means that somebody has kept him behind and the Quraysh have caught hold of that person. The next morning, Ayyash ibn Rabi'a, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala who met, Hisham did not make it. Anyways, they migrated to Madinah to Munawwara. Abu Jahl got the news that they migrated to Madinah to Munawwara. He pursues them to Medina. He comes to Medina and he tells Ayyash ibn Rabi'a, your mother has taken an oath. She will never comb her hair and she will not leave the sun until you do not return to Makkah. So he felt sorry, my mother, she's elderly. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab said, it's a ploy, it's a trick. Don't follow them. Abu Jahl is a cunning man. He said, but it's my mother. It wasn't a day of WhatsApp. Let me ask my mother what's happening. So he said, no, let me go and see the situation. Sayyidina Umar said, I'll give you half my wealth. Don't go. I'll give you half of whatever I own. Don't go. He said, let me go. It's my mother. He said, okay, if you are going, take my camel. It's an expensive one. It's a very fast one. If anything happens, you can always come back to Madinah to Munawwara. As they leave Madinah to Munawwara, Abu Jahl says, you got such a beautiful ride. You know, my ride is so hard. I can barely ride on this camel. How about we change? He said, yeah, by all means. The minute he got down, Abu Jahl strapped him. He handcuffed him and took him to Makkah al-Mukarramah. The Prophet of Allah continued to pray for Ayyash ibn Rabi'ah and all the Sahaba in Fajr Salah in Qunut al-Nazilah. There's so many accounts of the Sahaba, how they migrated. So they would secretly migrate to Madinah to Munawwara in small groups, in small batches. Some went by foot, some went by camel, but they all migrated to Madinah to Munawwara. Now came the turn of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala came to the Prophet of Allah and he said, O Nabi of Allah, give me permission. I also want to migrate. So Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Abu Bakr, don't worry, don't rush. Perhaps Allah will choose a companion for you. And when the time is right, I will let you know. He immediately understood the deeper meaning behind this, that the Prophet of Allah was to accompany him to the migration to Madinatul Munawwarah. As he gets home, he purchases two pricey camels, the best in the camel breed. This tells you how generous Abu Bakr was, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that he spent freely for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He prepared the two camels and he kept it ready for hijrah. Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha narrates the incident. She says, without failure, the Prophet of Allah would either visit us in the morning or in the evening. Every day would visit us. But the day the Prophet of Allah received the revelation and got the news to migrate to Madinatul Munawwarah, the Prophet of Allah came to us at an odd hour. During midday, at a time when he would never visit us. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala saw the Prophet of Allah coming with his head covered. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr said to his daughter, definitely something has happened. That is why the Prophet of Allah is coming to us at this odd hour. The Prophet of Allah enters the house and he says to Abu Bakr, take out from my presence whoever is here. Abu Bakr said, O Nabi of Allah, it's only my daughter Asma and my daughter Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So don't worry. The Prophet of Allah said, okay. Allah has finally granted us the permission. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, it is for the first time in my life I saw somebody cry out of happiness. She said, I seen people cry out of sadness. But that day was the first time I ever seen my father cry out of joy. Allahu Akbar. Because he understood that this is not an ordinary occasion. The only man, to accompany the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. What an honor for Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And so, the Quraysh on the other side are plotting. They gather in Darun Nadwa. وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُوا بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ. O Nabi of Allah, remember that time when the Quraysh gathered in Darun Nadwa in the assembly and they said, we are going to either kill you, imprison you, or send you into exile. Remember that time. Referring at the time of Hijrah when the Prophet of Allah was about to leave Mecca. The Quraysh said, enough is enough. Some said, let's send him into exile. Some said, let's imprison him. Abu Jahl said, let's kill him once and for all. We will choose one man from each tribe who will surround the house of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and who will execute him. By doing so, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not be able to take revenge from the entire Arabian community because there's so many tribes involved. They don't have the strength and the power. So Allah on this side alerted Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam whilst they were plotting on this side. The Prophet of Allah said to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you are going to sleep in my bed and I will meet you in Medina. These are the possessions of the people. Return these amanats to all the people who have entrusted them with me. And then come to Medina to Munawwara. So the Quraysh surround the house of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam leaves his house, blowing dust in their face and reading the verse, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. He blew into their face. He walked right through them. They did not see him. And in the darkness of the night, he exited Mecca with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and they hid in the cave of Thawr. They hid in the cave of Thawr for 3 days and subhanallah, Hijrah did not just take place haphazardly. It was well calculated. It took place in gradual steps. Look at how the Prophet of Allah undertook the journey of Hijrah. Now understand how the Prophet of Allah worked. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr are in the cave. During the night, Abdullah ibn Abu Bakr, the son of Abu Bakr, would come at night and inform the Prophet of Allah of what's happening in Mecca. He was gathering intelligence. Allahu Akbar. Because here I'm leaving, I need to be aware of the plans of the Quraysh. I can't be caught by surprise. If anything changes on their side, I need to take precaution on my side. Allahu Akbar. What is the Prophet of Allah teaching the Ummah? strategy. Strategize. He didn't go out and announce his mission. I'm migrating to Medina, to Munawwara. Do whatever you want. He did not do it like that. He taught us how to strategize. La aqlak at-tadbir. La aqlak at-tadbir. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to teach his Sahaba to be well calculated, to prepare yourself adequately before you go into anything. So he took all these measures into account. Abdullah ibn Abu Bakr would during the day walk around in Mecca, gather intelligence, find out what the Quraysh are planning, and at night they would visit Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and inform him. Amir bin Fuhaira, the servant of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, would come with the goats to the cave. He would come with under the pretext of grazing them, so nobody would doubt him. So whilst he would reach the cave, they would milk the goat, drink from the milk, and if they needed meat, they would slaughter a goat if they wanted. The Prophet of Allah then told Amir bin Fuhaira, first Abu Bakr's son, Abdullah, will leave in the morning, and you will follow him so that you can cover his tracks. Allahu Akbar. Precision. Planning. How astute the Prophet of Allah was. How calculated he was. Allahu Akbar. Amir will go afterwards. Abdullah will go first. The animals will cover his tracks when you leave after him. Allahu Akbar. What planning the Prophet of Allah undertook. He is teaching the Ummah how to strategize in all the affairs of life. This is a leader exhibiting leadership qualities. Look how careful he was. He first visited Abu Bakr at a time when everybody was sleeping. Number one. Number two, he covered his head. He did not want to reveal his identity. Number three, when he got into the house of Abu Bakr, he said to him, remove whoever is in the house. Number four, he hid in the cave of Thawr for 3 days, first to learn about the plans of Quraysh. Number five, he hired a non-Muslim. Abdullah bin Urayqit was a non-Muslim as a guide to guide them to Medina to Munawwara. Number six, he took an uncommon route. Allah. Today they have an express highway running through on that very same route to Medina to Munawwara. How calculated the Prophet of Allah was. Allahu Akbar. So after 3 days, the incident is long. You know, the Quraysh were pursuing. They said, whoever finds Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam dead or alive, 100 camels for him. 100 camels for him. Suraqa bin Malik gives chase and he finds the Prophet of Allah. He tries to come close. His horse is resistant, refusing to go forward. The horse kicks him off. When he gets off, he takes out the quiver. In those days, they would use the arrows. On the one arrow, it used to be written Naam, which means yes, you must carry on whatever you want to do. On the other arrows, it was written La, don't do it. So he took out an arrow, the Azlam. He took out the arrow and the arrow said, don't do it. Don't go forward. He said, you know what, 100 camels? Forget these arrows, man. He got onto his horseback again and he gave chase. Again he comes close to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the horse is resistant. The horse kicks him off again for the second time and the horse starts to sink until it's knee deep, and he realizes that the Prophet of Allah is divinely protected by Allah. He said to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give me protection. Give me protection. The Prophet of Allah says, I give you my protection. And then the Prophet of Allah said, O Suraqa, tell me, what do you say of that day when you will wear the bracelets of Kisra? He said, Kisra, the leaders of Persia? He said, yes, Kisra, the leaders of Persia. He said, is that going to happen? He started smiling. And remember, the Prophet of Allah promised him, when he had no Islamic state, when he was just few in number, when he had no formidable power behind him, yet look at the conviction of Sahaba. Allahu Akbar. Suraqa bin Malik says, most definitely that will indeed please me. He goes back, and whoever is coming in that direction, he tells them, go away, go away. I have finished, covered this area. You're not going to find anybody. In the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab, the Persian Empire fell to the Muslims. Suraqah bin Malik was a Sahabi at that time. Umar ibn al-Khattab called him and he said, "Do you remember the day when my Prophet promised you that you will wear the bracelets of Kisra, the leaders of Persia?" He said, "Yes. Here are the bracelets of Kisra." He wore the bracelets. He wore the crown of the king. He wore the clothing and the attire of the king along with the sword. Umar ibn al-Khattab made him parade Medina and make him sing, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." That Allah has fulfilled the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet of Allah then passes the tent of Ummu Ma'bad, an elderly lady. The Prophet of Allah asks her, "Do you have any milk or any meat for us? We will pay you in return." She said, "I got nothing." The Prophet of Allah saw a goat, a weak, lean, feeble goat, which was unable to give milk. The Prophet of Allah asked, "Do you give me permission to go and milk the goat?" She said, "By all means." The Prophet of Allah read, "Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim," in the name of Allah, and he started milking the goat. And miraculously, the goat started giving milk. Allahu Akbar. And they drank, and the people of the household drank, and the Prophet of Allah extracted milk for the second time and left the provision for the household. And he carried on to Medina to Munawwara, and he paid her whatever was required. When her husband came back, he asked her, "Oh, Ummu Ma'bad, where did you get this milk from? We don't have any goats in our possession that can give milk. And besides that, we are going through a phase of drought. Where did you get this milk from?" She related the whole story to him. And he said, "Wallahi, this is the companion of the Quraysh, whom I have heard about and learnt about. I am going to Medina. I will embrace Islam and I will become his companion." Allahu Akbar. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes into Quba. He rests in Quba for 14 days. The first masjid in Islam is built. La masjidun ussisa ala taqwa min awwali yawmin ahaqqu an taquma fihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Masjid al-Quba. And then the Prophet of Allah goes from the locality of Quba into another locality where he performs the first Jumu'ah, and then eventually he comes to Medina to Munawwara. The people of Medina, in anticipation of the arrival of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would every day come out in the morning to welcome him. But by mid-afternoon, they would go back to their homes because the sun was very piercing. It was too hot for them to handle the heat, and so they would go back. On that day, they also went back. A Jewish man who climbed one of the castles saw in the distance that somebody was coming, and he started screaming, "Oh people of Yathrib, oh people of Yathrib, your companion has arrived, whom you were waiting for all along." Everybody came joyously to welcome the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the beautiful couplets which you and I till today remember, and till today it reverberates in our homes. طلع البدر علينا من ثنية الوداع وجب الشكر علينا ما دعا لله داع أيها المبعوث فينا جئت شرفت المدينة. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was welcomed by these beautiful words, by the small girls and the small boys singing and welcoming the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What an occasion that was. Allahu Akbar. He comes into Medina to Munawwara. Cutting the long story short, his camel is let free. And the Prophet of Allah says, "Wherever my camel stops, that's where I'm going to get off." The camel stops at the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And so the Prophet of Allah rests in his house. The first thing he did after that was to purchase a land from Sahal and Suhail, two orphans, and built the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is called Hijrah. It was so important, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave stern warning in the Quran that those who have the capacity to make Hijrah and do not make Hijrah, for them is the azab of Allah. Naturally, Sahaba complied. They followed through with the orders of Allah. I'll end off with a few verses of the Quran, which Allah speaks about the hijrah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آوَوا وَنَصَرُوا أولئك هم المؤمنون حقا لهم مغفرة ورزق كريم. Allah says, those who brought iman in Allah, and then they left Makkah al-Mukarramah, and they went to Madinah al-Munawwarah, and they strove in the path of Allah. That's the Muhajireen. And those who gave shelter to them and gave them the most warmest of reception, and those who helped the deen of Allah, these Sahaba, the Muhajireen and the Ansar, these are true believers. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّا. They are the benchmark of iman. Anybody who wants to learn about iman and the standard of iman, my Sahaba, the Muhajir and the Ansar, they are the benchmark of iman. Allah said, لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. For them is forgiveness. For them is abundance of wealth and abundance of rosy that will befall their way. Persia and the Roman Empire both fell to the Muslims. لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. In another verse of the Quran, لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ. Those Sahaba who were driven out of their homes, who were made to leave their families, who were made to leave their households, who were made to leave their belongings, and they all migrated. Simply why? يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. They migrated to seek the pleasure of Allah. وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ. And for the sake of promoting the message of Islam, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Allah says, I am telling you, these are genuine people. Allahu Akbar. Brothers, today we take a loan from the bank. It takes us 20 years to pay out our house and the bond. It takes us 5 to 10 years to pay off our vehicles. It takes 10 to 15 to 20 years to find our feet and to be financially stable. And then after 20 years, when you've paid off your bond, when you've paid off your car, when you are financially stable, you are told to leave everything. Everything. Sahaba did that. Sahaba left their families. Sahaba left their homes. Sahaba left their properties. Sahaba left everything. وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا فِي اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا ظُلِمُوا لَنُبَوِّئَنَّهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَلَأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Allah says, those who made hijrah after being persecuted day in and day out, day in and day out, and they made hijrah to Rasul, to Madinah, to Munawwara, Allah says, our promise is, we will give them a better place, meaning Madinah to Munawwara, and we will give them rewards in this world and the year after. For they were patient. They were patient in the face of hardship. And they forsake everything. Everything. The Prophet of Allah said, لَوْ أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِثْلَ أُحَدٍ ذَهَبًا. If you were to spend the entire month equivalent to gold and silver, even then you would not reach the status of my Sahaba. Brothers, that's why the Hijrah was such an important event in the life of the Muslims. And so the Hijri calendar was named after Hijrah of the Muslimin and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are so many lessons for us to take from here. Lastly, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La hijrata ba'da al-fath. Now there is no Hijrah to take place. Yes, al-muhajiru man hajara khatayahu. A muhajir is that person who leaves his life of sin and comes to the life of righteousness. He is also a muhajir. Brothers, you and I, we have a message in the month of Muharram. We have a message behind the Hijri calendar. The Sahaba left everything and sacrificed everything for the sake of Allah. Allah is not asking us to leave our families. Allah is not asking us to sacrifice whatever we have. Allah is saying, leave the life of sin and come to the life of piety. When the Muaddin calls out, Hayya ala salah, and when the Muaddin is calling out, Hayya ala al-falah, make hijrat to the masjid. And when Allah is calling and asking for a certain action to be carried out, Sam'an wa ta'a, follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. And following the footsteps of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Just as they became successful, just as the Roman Empire fell to them, just as the Persian Empire fell to them, Allah's qasam, this world will also fall to you, provided you come unto the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. May subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who revere the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May we hold the Ahlul Bayt in high esteem. May we appreciate the sacrifices of the Sahaba, for today we are Muslims in Africa and other parts of the world because of the hijrah of Sahaba. And the hijrah did not stop in Medina. After the demise of the Prophet ﷺ, the Sahaba scattered in their numbers to the east, to the west, and they spread the message of Islam. And today you and I are Muslims. That is why the hijri calendar is so important. And that is why the hijri calendar is called the hijri calendar. It was named after the hijrah of the Muslimin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. Jazakallahu khairan.